55. Tonight, what I want to preach on is the invincible Word of God. This morning we prayed for revival. But you know something? No one would get saved unless you had the Word of God. No one would know God's will unless you had the Word of God. No one would do what God wants us to do and understand His sense and His purpose for us unless we read the Word of God. So we're looking at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13 tonight. But in way of introduction, there's three things I want to point out about the Word of God. God's Word have present value. God's Word has present value. And what sometimes we say something and then the next day we change. And we've seen that in all the situations that we've been in as a country right now. And there's a lot of contradiction, but God doesn't contradict. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11, it says several things. David writes, it says several things about the Word of God. But that is the law of God. Those are the commandments of God. Those are the statutes of God. Those are the judgments of God. Because those are written down so we know. But in verse 7, it says this, the law of the Lord is perfect. There is no error in it. There is no problem with it. There is no misunderstanding of it. It is perfect, converting the soul. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get saved without the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's like we sing the song, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. It's because we have a testimony, we have a foundation that no other man can lay but Jesus Christ. And He's the chief cornerstone, making wise the simple. And we've been looking at that on Wednesday night. We need to be wise, especially in this time. It says the statutes of the Lord are right. He is just. If you want to know what God's standard is, just look at His Word. If you want to know what we should do in a situation, follow God's standard. Follow His principles, because the statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. You know, when you're doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about anything, do you? That gives you a confidence. And it gives you a pleasure that you know that you're in the right place, doing the right thing with the right people. And so the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Oh, we need purity in the world today. We need pure words, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring, however, forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. You know, we are told to do righteous judgment. And we can't do righteous judgment unless we serve the righteous God. And unless we're following Him here. And then, how are we supposed to do it? We've been talking in Proverbs about wisdom and how Solomon is encouraging his son and his children to get wisdom. Do it with everything you've got. Get understand with all you're getting. And it says, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And you know, the Word is available today. And He's a very present help in time of trouble. And this last verse kind of sums it all up. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. We know what to do. We should do it. And if we're not doing it, we're warned. And keeping them, there is what? Great reward. Amen. There's great reward. See, God's words are a whole lot different than man's words. They have present value today. They can change a person's life. They will meet your need where the need is. They will provide you a solution. because they have present value. God's words are a foundation for the future. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Prophecy is forthtelling. Forthtelling. Whereunto ye do well that ye take what? Heed. Moreover, as thy servant warned, and he came in, there is great reward. We need to heed the word of prophecy. Christ is coming back.
Amen.
And we can see the setup even happening today. I liken what's happening today as in the time of Noah, when Noah was building the ark. For over 100 years, he's building the ark, and people are doing the same thing. Why are you building an ark? Because there's going to come a flood. Why is there going to be a flood? Because God's judgment's coming. And you need to change your life, and you can find shelter in the ark. Nah. Nope. And for decades, Noah's building the ark in the sight of everyone. And everyone's laughing at building a ship when they've never even seen rain. He's building on dry ground. You can mock God now, but judgment's coming. Because we have a sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Take heed. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need one tonight.
Amen.
As unto a light that shineth in a what? Dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We need Christ to arise in our heart. You know, God's Word has present value. God's Word are a foundation for the future. God's Word mean what they say. You know, how many times have you had broken promises? How many times that you've heard on, well, that's not what I meant. That's what you said. I don't understand. English is English, okay? Well, I really didn't say that. Well, here's the tape. No, God's Word mean what they say. And you don't have to sit there and think about it. In the next couple of verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. God's Word is taken at face value for what it says. It is truth. You don't have to read into it. You definitely need to study it. But it's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's what God says. And it means what it says. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that moves in us today. I just don't understand what God wants me to do in my life. Then you need to start listening to God. You need to start reading His Word. You need to start praying. We need revival. We need to pray about it. We need some holiness. And we need some evangelism. So God's words have present value. They're a foundation for the future, and they mean what they say. So tonight, I got two main points out of this scripture. First of all, the gracious provision of God's Word. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, it says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh forth, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing that which I please. Who pleases? You please? No, God does. We don't use God's word as a rubber stamp for trying to get our actions. Our actions should be a rubber stamp of God's word. and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, there's three things here that we need to look at. The first thing is the divine source of God's Word. You know, I love rain. I love snow even more. The issue is, it comes from where? It comes from above, okay? It comes from above. And God's talking to Isaiah. He's giving him an illustration. He says, look, he says, as the rain cometh down, and that's God, like God's grace coming down. Okay? Kind of see it coming on the horizon. Kind of see snow coming on the horizon. But boy, when you need rain, the sight of rain is a very pleasant thing. And so, it says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. See, God's word is His word. He doesn't have to have a spokesman. He doesn't have to have a focus group. He doesn't have to have any of this stuff to determine what should he say. He says it because he's God. And every word that we read comes from heaven. It's the source of God's word. And you know what? When God's word does, when rain and snow hits, it does something to the ground. Rain makes the ground produce. God's word should make us produce. Should make us produce. So we see the divine source of God's word. Secondly, the dynamic source of God's word. In verse 11 here, it says, so shall the word, and there's three action verbs here. The first one is that it goeth forth. It goeth forth out of his mouth. You know why? Because God's got a message for us. And it's a dynamic message. You know what we should do? We should proclaim His word too. His words should be deemed more than my necessary food. The word should, how can they hear unless there's a what? Unless there's a preacher. So the first thing is, it goeth forth out of his mouth. And then the next thing is, it will come back. And it will come back not empty-handed. It'll come back with conviction. It'll come back with confession. It'll come back with people turning to righteousness. It'll have a result, just like the rain has a result in the growing season. It will have a result. Folks, I hope for you here and for those on the internet that the preaching of God's word is changing your life. The Bible promises that it's not going to come back void. It's going to do something. What's God's word doing in your life tonight? What's it doing? It goes forth out of God's mouth and it comes back with a result. And it does exactly what God says to do. You know, how many times have we had plans and then they just kind of, meh, and they go away? That's like my whole life, okay? But that's not God's plan. No, God, before the foundation of the world, planned that His Son would come and live a perfect life and die on the cross. God, before the foundation of the world, knew that our church would be standing here. God, before the foundation of the world, knew that we would even have this service tonight. We just need to do the will of God. We just need to do the will of God. And then the last thing is, it's the directed course of God's word. He says, it's going to accomplish where I send it. There are too many people today that take God's word and use it as some justification for their action or the way they think. See, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ. He doesn't have your mind. If He had our mind, we'd be in a world of hurt. We'd be in a big world of hurt. And so the issue here is that it says it'll accomplish what He wants it. Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. See, we're supposed to be dependent on God and not independent actors in the spiritual realm. We need to do what He says to do. That's what His Son did. That's what His Son did. And the second thing is, not only does it go where God wants it to go, it prospers. You know, Joshua said the words of the book of the law shall not depart out of mouth, but they'll meditate there in day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. I'm telling you, folks, what this country needs, what our church needs, what our families need, and what our lives need is the Word of God. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. We need prayer. We need holiness. We need to do what God tells us to do. And so we see the gracious provision of God's Word. The divine source is Himself. Because God is the only divine source in the universe. It goes where He wants it to go. And it's an active thing. It's not just like reading a dry novel and putting it up. The Word should come alive to us. It quickens us. And then the last thing is, it tells us where to go, and we will be successful if we follow it. Secondly, the great potential of God's Word. In verses 12 through 13. So, just like the rain comes down, the Word goes forth. And then we receive it. Just like the ground receives the rain, we're supposed to receive it. Okay? We're supposed to receive it. And so now you get the other part of this. The potential that His Word will do. It says, "For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall bring forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." See, there's three things here that we need to understand. The first thing is, it's a newborn happiness. If you allow God's Word to come into your life, it's going to do something. It's going to have fruit. You're going to go God's way. You're going to be successful. And then as you go out with joy. And everything you see has God in it. You know, I love driving through the hills. I love driving through the Rocky Mountains. I love driving through the Smoky Mountains. I just love looking at mountains. They don't exist down here. Everything's flat. Only other place flatter than this, Oklahoma. But the issue is that I like looking at those. You know why? Because they're majestic. And think of this. We need a change in perspective. See, God's Word should give us joy and peace. That should make you happy. And it should give you a different outlook on life. Now, I'll tell you what. If you see trees clapping and mountain singing and stuff like that, come tell me, okay? But that's not what it really means there. It means that you can sit there and you can understand that the heavens declare the what? The handiwork of God. We sing the song, "How Great Thou Art." And we stand in awe at His creation. And when you know God's Word and you have it in your heart, and you know where it comes from, and it's doing its thing, and it's making yourself prosperous. You see everything through the prism of God. And God did all this for us. He did all this for mankind. To show that He's God. To show that He loves us. To show that we need to have Him as a Savior. And I hope God's Word makes you happy. hope it makes you happy. The second thing is, it's a newborn holiness. In verse 13, there's a exchange. A couple of weeks ago, we went through, you know, let's make a deal. Let God make a deal with you. Change your sorrow for joy. You know, personally, I don't like thorns. They hurt, they stick you, they scratch you, they make you bleed. Okay? Same thing with briar. Yeah. I don't like walking through that stuff. But see, that's what happens. We don't get entangled in the briars of life when we sin. And if we look at God's word work in our life, it says instead of the thorn can come up the what? The fir tree. And instead of the briar should come up the myrtle tree. So God will always take something bad out of your life and replace it with something good. Do you have something tonight that you need God to take out of your life and replace it with something good? Seek His word. He says He's going to make the way prosperous. He's going to do those things. So there's a newborn happiness, a newborn holiness. And then the next thing is a newborn hopefulness. See, in the end of this, it says, and it shall be what? What shall be to the Lord? We shall be. In Revelation, it talks about giving us a new name. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Before Abraham had his name changed. Jacob has his name changed. Sarah had her name changed. We need our name changed. It says it shall be to the Lord for a name, and not only that, that name will last an eternity. It says for an everlasting sign that shall not what? Be cut off. See, we have the source of His graciousness. We have the great potential here. I want to close with this illustration. A Scottish missionary by the name of John Gibson Patton. He lived in the late 1800s, died 1907. And he had the call of God on him to go to be a missionary to the New Hebrides. The New Hebrides are out there in Micronesia. And so he tries to go to the Admiralty of the British government to get permission to go down there to be a missionary there. And the Admiralty said no. The island he wanted to go to, his name was called Tanu. Tanu. And they were notorious for being cannibals. And so he said, I want to go down there and I want to evangelize these people. God's called me to this. And time after time after time, in the 1850s, he went and they rejected him. Said, we're not going to send you down there. And just like the widow that just kept on bugging the judge, he just kept after it. And one day, one of the admirals said, you know something? Let him go down there. Because if they eat him, then we'll just go down there and we'll blow it off the face of the map. See, that's man's thinking, not God's thinking. So in November of 1859, he goes down there. He tells the Admiralty, he says, I have the word of God, and that's more effective than gunpowder. That's more effective than any weapon you have. And so he shows up in 1859. 3 months later, he has a newborn son. 19 days after that, his wife Mary dies. 36 days after that, his son dies. The people there don't really like him. And he keeps on praying, and he keeps on working. And one night they started to attack, and he was rescued by ship and taken off the island. That's pretty discouraging. But God's word is powerful. So he escapes, and he goes to Australia, and he goes back to Scotland, and he raises more support. And he comes back to New Hebrides, and he goes on to an adjacent island called Annawa. And that island, they had cannibals and everything too. In the process, he gets remarried. He loses four more children to death early in their young age because of the conditions down there. So four out of his 10 children by the second marriage die. But he still kept on doing his word and his work and his call. The entire island of Annawa was evangelized and became converted. In his ministry, 25 of the 30 islands in New Hebrides had a missionary on them. Then 1899, the British come back down there and they find out that they totally changed. They'd given up their ways to follow God. And they were industrious and they were prosperous and they were making hats. And became known for making hats. But here's the thing. Man's word says this. God's word says something else. And we follow what God's word does. It doesn't matter what trouble we go through. We talked about it with Jairus' father. Or with Jairus. Over his daughter. And with everybody that was, you know, giving up hope. Elisha, when he's surrounded by the Assyrians. But God's word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's going to do what it's intending to. You know what we need to do? We need to follow it. We need to follow it. I close with this verse. Colossians 3:16 says that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Does the word of God, is it void in your life? You need to fix that. You need to work. You need to let it work. Is there something bad that you need the word of God to replace in your life and make you prosperous and do the thing that God wants you to do? It's the cry that we need to do, especially in this time. Because the night's coming. Judgment's coming. Christ is coming. And when he comes back, will he find his servants working for him? Will he find us following his word? Let's make that commitment tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you with this time of invitation, Father, let your word have its will and way in our lives. Father, it be for salvation, Lord. It be for recommitment, Lord. If it be for guidance and to answer your call. Father, whatever the need is tonight, Father, I ask that you meet it. Help us, Lord, to be receptive and surrender to you. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.